if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now, y'all see fault. It's not sin, right? It's a fault. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Lord, I sure love you. And Lord, like it's already been said, we thank you and we praise you for going to Calvary and dying for sinners like us. And we praise your name that you rose again the third day. And Holy Ghost, we thank you for the day that you tracked us down. You convicted us. Lord, you birthed us into the family of God because of repentance towards God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for my folks, Lord, that if there's any that's not saved, that you, Lord, would corner them and show them their need of a Savior, and they'd repent and trust Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd help the Christians, the saved folks, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What I want to do is I want to point something out here. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? So not anybody can do any restoration. What do you have to be? Have to be spiritual. Well, my question is this. Are you spiritual? I looked up spiritual in the old dictionary. Not fleshly. Not sensual. Pertaining to spirit or to the affections. Pure, holy. And then it illustrated in the old dictionary, Romans chapter 7, verse 14, God's law is spiritual. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians 2, look at verse number 12 with me. The Bible says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know, some people spend more time reading books about the Bible than reading the Bible. And you're not going to get the Bible truths by reading books about the Bible. Bible says in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, what's he do? He judgeth all things. And, you know, the liberal worldly saved people, they like to say, oh, judge not, that you be not judged. Well, what you ought to do is read your Bible more often and find the places for that. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Like, who's your kids running around with? Who do your kids listen to? How do you allow your wife to dress, your girls to dress? He's that spiritual judgeth all things. And they start with themselves. Yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, we're right there in chapter 3, so let's pick up in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto what? But as unto. So I asked you, are you spiritual? Because if you're not spiritual, what are you? If you're saved, you're carnal. You're in the flesh. And anything you do in the flesh doesn't please the Lord. I don't care what you do. You could hand out 1,000,000 tracts in the flesh. That doesn't please the Lord. You could give $1,000,000 to missions in the flesh, and it doesn't please the Lord. Are you spiritual? Seems to be a pretty important topic with the Bible. So he says, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto. Did you ever get that idea when you talk to some people who say they're saved? You can't really speak to them on a spiritual level. I said, why? Well, because this is the 17th time you've had the same discussion and you've tried to say it and they just don't pick it up. He says, so I can't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Isn't it an amazing thing how grown-ups like myself, 69 years old and 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds, we talk to one another and all of a sudden you bring a little baby. Hey, how you doing, sweetie pie? Right? Because you talk different to a baby than you do to an adult. Oh, you're so cute. You're so cute. Some of you wonder why this pastor talked to me like that and he talks to Brother Dan like that. Eh? I might be giving you a clue. Bible says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not. Hey, has Adam had his first steak yet? I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. Why aren't ye able to handle it? For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying. Are you envious? You're carnal. And strife. Spiritual people don't allow strife in their life. I said spiritual people don't allow strife. I didn't say that we're not capable of it. We don't allow it. And divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I have, Pastor Matt, I have been greatly blessed by the church calendar. And when I turn the pages, you put a lot of thought, you and your wife probably, into the quotes on those calendars. And I appreciate them. This was November's, for those of you that don't really care about looking at your calendar. J.C. Ryle said, it costs something to be a real Christian according to the standard of the Bible. There are enemies to overcome, battles to be fought, sacrifices to be made, an Egypt to be forsaken, a wilderness to pass through, a cross to be carried, a race to run. Conversion is not putting a person in an armchair and taking them easily to heaven. It is the beginning of a mighty conflict in which it costs much to win the victory. Amen. I had a test done the other day, and a lady was doing the test on me, and so I started talking to her about the Lord, and she asked me, she said, do you know Jack Kranz? I said, I do know Jack Kranz. I said, do you know Jack Kranz? She goes, I do. He's like an uncle to me. I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, are you a born-again Christian? She goes, I am. I said, well, that's great. Where do you go to church? And she said, I don't go to church. She said, I said, well, then how do you know Jack Kranz? You know, it gets a little bit awkward there, you know, when you're talking to a backslid Christian and you've just backed them into a corner, you know. And so I said, well, how do you know Jack Kranz? She said, well, my aunt's sister is Jack Kranz's wife. I said, wow. She said, growing up, Jack was around our family a lot, and she said that Jack had led her grandfather to the Lord. And so I said something about church, and she says, oh yeah, she says, you know, our family, we went Sunday school and every Sunday, Sunday morning, every Sunday, Sunday night, every Sunday. We didn't do anything on Sundays. We didn't go to the park. We just ate at grandma's and then went back to church, and then we had church on Wednesday night again. That sounds like you guys. But she's not in church. Do you know how many people over the years that I've pastored, I could tell you that? My first church in Pennsylvania, my second church in New York, and this church down here. People just like you. But something happened. It's not because they were spiritual. No. I'm in Colossians 1. Look at verse number 9 with me. The Bible says, for this cause, you say, that would never happen to me. Take heed, lest ye fall. Bob Jones was out fishing. He was an old man. Bob Jones Sr. was out fishing with another old man. And some famous evangelist had messed up and got out of the ministry. I think he whored around or something like that. These were old men. They're well into their 60s, maybe their 70s. They were out fishing, and they brought this guy's name up. And the one preacher said, to Bob Jones Sr., said, Preacher Bob said, what is going on? I mean, you know, why would this guy do that? And he said, brother, if you and I are not careful, we could be gone by morning. If you don't live that way, you're allowing the adversary to set his trap for you. Yeah. So I'm in Colossians 1, verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Aren't you glad somebody prays for you? You ought to pray for somebody. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. There's not a whole lot of spiritual understanding nowadays. You know, you fill yourself up with television, with Hollywood movies, with the internet, with social media. That social media is out of hell. And then some people live on the texting and the Instagram and the social, all that kind of stuff. That is filling your mind and your heart with a bunch of wickedness. Amen. You understand we're going to give an account one time for our time. Amen. We're addicted, guys. We have got to put that toy down and start using it as a tool. Amen. So he says, spiritual understanding, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Are you living your life to please the Lord, or are you living your life to please yourself? Amen. Listen, the evidence is outward. Amen. When you pitch a fit and you don't get your own way, guess who you're living for? When you suck your thumb because you got left out, guess who you're living for? When you don't like this or you don't like that, guess who you're living for? You're supposed to be living for him. Amen. Listen, I'm getting a little bit ahead of my, okay, I'm going to back up. Let me get back there too. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And then when you get there, you can get Romans chapter 8. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Guys, salvation is more than getting your ticket punched for heaven and then go live any way you want to live. If salvation was only about you going to heaven, he would have taken you home when you got saved. That's not what it's about. Go with me, if you would, to Mark. Chapter number 8. Mark chapter 8. Look at verse 34 with me. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Are y'all with me? How many of you have a red letter edition Bible? Is that red letters there? So Jesus is talking, right? Let's read that again. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. As I said, salvation is more than getting your ticket punched for heaven and then go live any way that you want to live. You know what most lost people know about getting saved? If they get saved, they know that their life as they know it is over and changes are coming. That's why they don't get saved. Now, the night that I got saved, I really didn't know much about God and I didn't know much about the Bible. If Bob had told me, find John 3:16 in this Bible or you're going to go to hell, I'd have gone to hell. Right? But the night I got saved, I knew a major change had taken over. That young lady there noticed that major change very quickly. Talking about cross bearing, this is what I'm going to do for the next how many ever. I'm not sure when next time I'm going to preach. I talked to a nurse today. And she said, the surgery that I'm going to have, I need to take 6 weeks off of work. So I have reserved 6 weeks on a desert island called Bermuda, and I will be going through a recovery program. I'm just kidding. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to preach on being spiritual. And I'm going to preach how the Bible teaches us what instruments to use to be spiritual. And if you don't use God's instruments, you're not spiritual. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. Because I believe the book is my final authority in faith and practice. And if you're not bearing your cross, you are not spiritual. So let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. See what the Lord says about all this. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. There's just not much self-denial going on, is there? I want this. I want that. I want to go here. I want to do that. Sounds like an awful lot of not denying. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. This is the kind of preaching that gets carnal people mad. He said, why? Because they get exposed. Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse 28 with me. Matthew 11 verse 28. The Bible says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, we read in Mark and we read in Luke about a cross that we're supposed to pick up our cross daily. Here in Matthew chapter 11, it talks about us getting in the yoke with the Lord. So we got a cross. And then we got a yoke to get into with the Lord. Guys, how hard can it be to pull the yoke if the Lord is in the yoke with us? Go with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I'm going to pick up in verse 4. John chapter 13, verse 4, it says, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel. Now, y'all know that's talking about the Lord, right? Took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, go to verse 14. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. What did he do? He served others. He served others. Verse 16, verily, 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 I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So now I have a third instrument, which is called the towel and the basin. So what I want to do in the next several, whatever times that I preach, is I want to preach on these instruments that God has laid out for us to help us to be spiritual. The cross. The Bible says that we are supposed to deny ourselves, we're supposed to pick up our cross, and we're supposed to follow the Lord. Is that what it says several times in the Gospels? The cross is a way of life. You know how some church people, they live one way at the church, and they live another way at work, and they live another way at home? You're a hypocrite if you're saved. Because the bearing a cross, you live the same way. It does not matter what the location is. It's a way of life. The cross is an instrument of death. Paul said, I die daily. The principle throughout the Word of God is death, burial, and resurrection. Romans talks about you and I being raised to walk in newness of life. But before you ever walk in newness of life, you're going to have to die to yourself. So the cross is a way of life. It's an instrument of death. The yoke is a walk with the Lord. If you're yoked up with somebody, guess what? Wherever they go, you're going. It's a walk with the Lord. That should be an instrument of delight. It should be a blessing and joy to walk with God. And then you have the towel and the basin. And the towel and the basin is a willingness to love, and it's a willingness to serve. It's an instrument of devotion, and it's an instrument of service. Washing somebody's feet. That's humbling yourself down and doing it. So what I'm going to start with tonight is the cross as an instrument of death. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, and he that taketh not his cross. Let's go there. Go to Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 38. Bible says, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy. Now look, I'm not saying that. That's what the Bible says. So the Bible says that if you don't pick up your cross and if you don't follow the Lord with your cross, you're not worthy of him. And you're surely not spiritual. Is that right? Go to chapter 16 in Matthew. Look at verse 24, chapter 16, verse 24. The Bible says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Do you notice, guys, there every time it talks about the cross, it's talking about losing your life and finding your life and like that? I don't know how to illustrate it to you better than myself. When I got saved, okay, I wasn't saved very long. I dedicated my life to the Lord. First verses I ever learned, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. There's some of my favorite verses in the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I have lived those verses for 47 plus years. I've had a blessed life. I didn't do what Mike Keenan. Mike Keenan never had a thought about preaching or being a pastor. But God did. Am I making any sense? I lost my life. Daddy had educated me. Daddy had groomed me for a professional life, making as much money as I can make to be successful in the world. That is an ungodly philosophy. Those of you that are all eat up with making all kinds of money and buying all kinds of things, you're going to have a ruinous life. There is no joy, there is no peace in the things of this world. Oh, I'm so happy. Yeah, but it wears off real fast, and then you need something else. I haven't gotten a new Savior. I haven't gotten a new Bible in 47 years. I like it. Boy, I'm making some of you all mad here. I'm trying to help you. Y'all don't want to be spiritual. Who wants to be carnal? So with salvation comes a cross. No cross, no part with the Lord. And this is not preached on very much. You can know why? Because people just want to go to church, be patted on the head, told how good they're doing, and go on their merry way. So they have a show of Christianity. They're really not interested in the Christian life of daily bearing a cross. No cross, no following the Lord. Now, you know what's happening? People are truly, I think, getting confused on what it means to be spiritual. No, seriously. If you carry a big Bible, you know, a big Bible, it doesn't make you spiritual. Amen. If you have 47 tracts in your pocket, that doesn't make you spiritual. If you wear your hair in a certain style, that does not make you spiritual. If you wear certain clothes, that does not make you spiritual. If you listen to certain music, that doesn't make you spiritual. The number of children you have does not make you spiritual. How long you pray does not make you spiritual. How much Bible you read does not make you spiritual. If you go to an altar, that does not make you spiritual. But I tell you something, everything I said, if you're spiritual, there'll be aspects of your life. Amen. But doing it doesn't make you spiritual. Amen. Are y'all with me? Yeah. Brother Lanny told me a story. When Lanny was at Tennessee Temple, he took a real country church, and he called them hillbillies. And I'm probably, that's not a politically correct word nowadays, which I couldn't give a rip about.
Amen.
So he took this little country church, and there was a woman in that church. And that woman did not wear makeup. That woman had long hair and put it up in a bun a lot of times, and she was covered from neck to ankle. She didn't wear any jewelry. And, buddy, she would let anybody know if they broke the rules about dress or modesty or standards, because she was spiritual. She's faithful in church, visitation, passing tracts, the whole nine yards. Lanny, he had graduated. He was pastoring that church. It was just a little church, so Lanny worked a full-time job. And a guy that knew that church and knew Lanny, that came up to Lanny and said, Lanny, and he called that woman's name. He said, Lanny, that woman is stepping out on her husband. Lanny says, no, you don't know. You don't know that woman. He said, Lanny, she's stepping out. So Lanny played FBI. He took a man of the church. And one morning he got there real early before that woman's husband left for work. And he parked. And when he parked, sort of slid down in the seat, and he watched the husband drive off to work. And about 15 minutes later, another car had pulled up on the street, and a guy got out, went to the front door, and walked in. Lanny knew they had a little baby, a little toddler, in that house. So Lanny played detective, Sherlock Holmes, and he snuck up to a window. And that woman would take that toddler and put it in a room and then go into another room, commit adultery with that man. But you know what she wanted everybody in that church to think? She was spiritual. So you know me. I am for separation. I am for standards. But that doesn't make you spiritual. What I have found out to some people, it makes them proud and cocky and hypocritical. No cross, you're not following the Lord. Church attendance, faith promise, tithe, Bible reading, prayers, tracts, visitation. That's not what God said. God said, pick up your cross and follow me daily. That's what he said. So you want to be spiritual? You need to pick up that cross every day. Follow the Lord. Not my cross. Not Mrs. Keenan's cross. Your cross. His cross. You see how every time it says his cross? Your cross. So you know what you better learn? You better learn what your cross is. Better learn in your Christian life what your cross is going to be. You know, folks are always looking for an easy way. How easy was it for the Lord? You know, guys, man, I remember one time in Bible school I had this old man preaching. And isn't the work of the Holy Ghost to conform us to the image of the Son of God? And isn't the work of sanctification to make us like Christ? Well, did Christ have a traitor right amongst his 12? Did Christ have his own brothers and sisters make fun of him and mock him and reject him? Did Christ not have people that all he ever did was feed people and heal people and they wanted to kill him? In Gethsemane, the toughest time, it was God manifest in the flesh. Realizing that he is going to be separated from the Father, the sin of the world. He was going to be made sin. He's holy. The disciples are falling asleep. They didn't understand the magnitude of the situation. Well, how about you? You're going to be like Christ. You're going to go through the same things our Lord did. Gethsemane. Traitors. Backstabbers. Unloyal friends. Did they lie about the Lord? They called him an illegitimate child. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So there's a denial of self. When's the last time you denied yourself anything so you could do something for the Lord? Well, preacher, I'd be at church, you know, but I got this. Well, preacher, I'd help out in this ministry, but, you know, that's awful hard and taxing and time-consuming. I thought that's what the Christian life was about. It's not just the pastor. It's we're all Christians. We just have different positions in the body. And if we assemble together, when we're supposed to be assembled together, we will operate finely. So what is a cross? Well, can I start with the Lord's cross? You mind looking through your Bible? Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Okay, let me do this. We'll all go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And for time's sake, I have 6 or 7 points about the Lord's cross. Pastor Matt, would you go to Galatians 5:11? Caleb, would you please go to Ephesians 2:16? Tim, would you please go to Hebrews 12:2? Kevin, would you go to Colossians 1:20? Kevin. Pete, Would you go to 1 Corinthians 1, and then I'll give you verses 17, 18, and 20. And then the last one will be Philippians, and we're there. Philippians 2, look at verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became what? Unto even the... You know what our Lord's cross was? It was about obedience. It's about obedience. It's about obedience. I wonder how much of that Bible we should obey. Isn't it amazing how we think, you know, smorgasbord Christianity. Well, I like that, so I'll do that. But I don't like that, so I'm not going to do that. No, that's not your cross. My Lord's cross was about obedience. And listen to me, he willingly... They didn't drag him up to Calvary. He willingly went. When he came into this world, he came into this world with one main purpose. That was to die on Calvary for your sins and my sins. Since me and that woman got saved, our one purpose in life was to do something for God. It didn't matter, Tim, what it was going to be. We wanted to do something for God. Everything I had been taught, everything I had been brought up with just completely went out the window because the Holy Ghost moved in. I had a new life in Jesus Christ and I wanted to do something for God. And I started finding out that if I had obeyed that book, God would bless me and use me. Okay, Galatians 5, verse 11, Pastor Matt. What is the cross? It's offensive. Man, you can talk about anything you want to talk about in the workplace. Politics, sports, the economy, politicians. But don't you talk about the Savior. Right? The queers can talk their queer language. The transvestites can. But don't you. It's offensive. Your cross is going to be offensive. Ephesians 2:16.
And that he might reconcile to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby.
Reconciliation. We're not supposed to be pushing people away. We're supposed to be reconciling them. Hebrews 12:2. Endurance. There is no quit in the Lord. Amen. You know what I think about a quitter? They're losers. Amen. They're losers. Our Lord wouldn't quit. Our Lord wouldn't compromise. He endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy of being able to save Mike Keenan March 20th, 1975. Colossians 1:20.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Peace and forgiveness in Colossians 1. And then you go to Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14. Talk about forgiveness. Peace and forgiveness. There should be peace and forgiveness in my life, in my marriage, in my home, in my church. When there's no peace and there's no forgiveness in your life, you're not picking up your cross and carrying it. Our Lord's cross was all about peace and forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 1, do 17, 18, and 20, please.
For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made to none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Ah, oh, there's power in that cross. Amen. Go ahead, Pete.
Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?
Amen. We probably had, for our generation, one of the greatest missionaries. that we'll ever know in Mike Roberts. Mike Roberts was backslid since he was a kid until he was 27 years old. He was over in Vietnam. Do you understand when he said he went native, what he did? Those guys did not like how the politicians were pulling the strings in Vietnam. Amen. So what they did is they just loaded up with those, what do they call those meals? And as much ammunition as they could carry, and they just went. And they went after the enemy. Amen. Mike did that. Amen. They thought he was crazy. He did. He's angry. He got out of the military. He's mad at everybody. He'd shoot anybody on sight. And God, in his grace and his mercy, had him marry his precious wife, and she got saved. She got so saved, he got under conviction. Look what God did with him. He picked up his cross, and he followed the Lord. His power. His power. Lord, only the Lord can change a life. And then Philippians 3:18. We're right there. Philippians 3:18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. There's some people going to hate your guts because of the way you live, and the way what you preach, how you bring up your children. Enemies of the cross. I believe Christianity without a cross is just a very mechanical life. Like any of the cults, like any of the Catholics, like any of the Buddhists, like any of the Muslims. It's just a mechanical life. Our cross. Now I'm not talking about Calvary. This is what Tozer said. He said, "We modern Christians today are long on talk, but short on conduct. We use the words of power, but our deeds are the deeds of weakness. We settle for words and religion, because deeds are too costly. It's easier to pray, 'Lord, help me to carry my cross,' than to pick up the cross and carry it. Fact of the matter is, we never intend to do different. We just want to feel better because we have talked about it, and it gives us our religious comfort." Boy, he's right on the button. The Lord, guys, is not interested in your good intentions or your sincerity. He wants you to get up off your stool and do nothing. And he wants you to move forward and pick up your cross and follow him. Obedient unto death. The difference between our Lord and the Pharisees and quote unquote religion was that our Lord did something to save someone. What are you doing to help someone besides yourself? I know self is number one for you, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. Remember that woman that had the alabaster box? What was her name? Bible doesn't tell us. But he sure commended her, and he sure rebuked the others for criticizing her. What's the great thing that she did? I'll quote it for you. "She hath done what she could." She hath done what she could. That's what he wants us to do. What we can. She was commended for doing what she could. So we're here. We're supposed to be a friend to sinners. As we have opportunity, the Bible says we're supposed to do good to all men, especially them of the household of faith. We have missions. We just had our missions conference. We have family. We have church. We have home. We're supposed to pick up our cross. Follow him. Now, I believe we can learn from the Lord and learn from his cross. He took his cross. He took a cross. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, it says, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should that you should follow his steps. So, if I read my Bible right, and I'm trying to portray it that way, we all have a cross. If we're saved, we all have a cross to bear. Is that correct? Your cross is not my cross. My cross is not your cross. But we all have a cross to bear. He took the cross. We need to be willing to take the cross. You know what happens when you don't take your cross? You get to interfering with other people that have picked up their cross. I can't and I will not try to tell you what your cross is. But I do know some things about a cross. I know, number one, it's voluntary. It's voluntary. You know what my Lord did? He willingly, voluntarily went. John chapter 10. Let's go to John chapter 10. Would the devil die for you to go to hell? But Jesus died for you to go to heaven. And it was voluntary. Listen to me. Don't you ever think, you know, our Lord sweat drops of blood, but don't you ever think that our Lord didn't ever wanted to not go to Calvary. He's sweating drops of blood because of the separation from the Father. And we don't understand this, and we won't until we get to heaven. But holiness was about to become sin. And that was so repulsive to the Lord. I know sin isn't repulsive to us like it should be, but it is to the Lord. John chapter 10, look at verse 15 with me. John 10, verse 15. The Bible says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Is that voluntary? And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. No, listen, guys, this is why I say, the Romans didn't kill Jesus. The Jews didn't kill. He gave up his life. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again, because he was God manifest in the flesh. This commandment have I received of my Father. It's voluntary. The Lord was not a victim. He didn't fight the soldiers. He gave himself for us. He was not made to go. He went willingly. So the first thing about a cross is it's voluntary. So a cross can't be cancer, a sickness. It can't be a disease or sorrow that just comes on us. What I'm trying to do is help you identify your cross from the Bible. If you have to be pushed and shoved and threatened and driven to serve the Lord, you're really not of any value to the Lord. They drive cattle. They lead sheep. What you do for God, you should do it voluntarily because you love him. He went to the cross because he loves you. We ought to bear our cross because we love him. So whatever a cross is, it's voluntary. Number two, a cross is for somebody else. A cross is something done for someone else. Christ didn't need to die for himself. We needed him to die for us, or we would have gone to hell. So your cross is doing for somebody else. Romans says it this way, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I can hear Brother Hank Thompson preaching, saying, I'm not going to be a doormat for anybody. And yet, you would pray, Lord, whatever you want me to do to help somebody, do it. Well, there's a pretty big conflict right there.
Right.
Romans chapter 5 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what you do? You can't carry a cross and carry prejudice at the same time.
Amen.
Because it's for somebody else.
Amen.
Whatever a cross is, it's doing something for others willingly. You have heard me. The very first time I ever went to Shady Acres was a 1983 January meeting. And Brother Sonny and Beverly Fritz were there. Brother Sonny Fritz took his two girls in a station wagon back in the 60s and went into Old Mexico. I think at the time they had $50 or $75 a month support. And they cleared out a garbage place, and he started preaching. And Sonny Fritz was not a very good preacher at all. He really was not a good preacher, and he'd be the first one to tell you he was not a good preacher. But him and that woman of his, they loved those Mexican people. And long story short, God started blessing him, and you know, he started one church and trained some guys and then started another church. I think before he was done, Sonny had started a Bible college, and Sonny had started like 30 churches or something down there in the Monterey area, and God used him tremendously. Well, his wife got sick. So they crossed over into Texas, and they got to seeing the doctor. And I don't know all the details and everything, but this is what they said. They said, you got this, and because you live in Monterey, it's making it worse, and so you can't live in Monterey, Mexico anymore, or you're going to die. So they said, thank you very much, and they went back to Monterey, Mexico. And so she lived a bunch more years, and then she had some problems with her eyes. And so her eyesight was going. And so she went back to Texas and saw another doctor and said, well, because you live in Monterey, Mexico, this is affecting your eyes, and if you stay in Monterey, Mexico, you're going to go blind, so you can't live in Monterey, Mexico. So they thanked him very much, and they went back to Monterey, Mexico. That woman died in Monterey, Mexico. There's no telling how many Mexicans got saved and are being saved today because of Sonny and Beverly Fritz. It was for someone else. It was for someone else. John Gray, I don't know if you all know John Gray. John Gray was married to Brother Don Green's daughter, only daughter, Mary. Mary got cancer. She's in heaven with the Lord. But they're over there in Papua New Guinea, and John got an eye parasite. He got malaria, and then he got an eye parasite, and there was a certain strain and all that kind of business. And guess what they told him? That if he lived in Papua New Guinea, that that parasite would kill him and that he couldn't live in Papua New Guinea. So guess what he did? He went back to Papua New Guinea. Guess where he is tonight? He's in Papua New Guinea. Why? For someone else. There's a whole bunch of saved people in a church in a nice comfortable pew, a nice comfortable chair living for themselves. No cross. Cross is for somebody else. Remember the 10 lepers? How many thanked them? They're not going to thank you. So you're going to lay down your cross because you didn't get thanked? Because you didn't get enough praise? You're not living for someone else. You're living for yourself. So if cross is voluntary, a cross is for someone else. And can I say this? A cross is victorious. And it's joyful. For the joy set before him. He endured the cross. Go to Hebrews chapter 1 if you would. Hebrews chapter 1. My Lord conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He conquered the devil. I'd say that's victorious. And because of that, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Hebrews 1, verse number 9. The Bible says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. I'm telling you, you can tell a bunch of saved people don't bear their cross because they got no joy at all. Some people, the only things you text is doom and gloom and ugliness. Oh, we had an election the other day. Oh, it didn't go so good, did it? Did you notice I didn't even bring it up? That was on purpose. I know I have a tendency to forget. I did not forget. I don't give a rip. I'm serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. My life is not being disturbed because of a bunch of heathen. Joy. I'm telling you, some people. Chapter 12. Go to chapter 12 in Hebrews. Chapter number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. A Christian that is not carrying his or her cross is living a wasted life. It's a vain life. Some of us don't look far ahead enough. It's not about this life. It's about the next. And things you do now, you may not see the effect of it, but I'm telling you, when you do something for the Lord, there will be an effect. Go down there. That cross is a place of triumph. It's a place of victory. It's a place of joy, conquest, achievement. I think I told you a story. There's a woman down at George Truett's church in Dallas in the early 1900s. And that was always a very missions-minded church. And she wanted to be a missionary, but she was in bad health. Long story short, that woman tried to go to China and couldn't because of her health. The mission board wouldn't let her. So she had prayed, and she decided that she would live more frugally and that she would take on some wash or sewing or something, and she would support one missionary all by herself in China. And the long and the short of it is that that missionary to China had 1,000, started several churches, and one time he was at a convention. And George Truett was there many years later. And that missionary got up as a gray-haired man, and he gave the testimony of what God was doing in China. And the Holy Ghost swept through there, and several young men surrendered to go to China. And Truett remembered that woman supporting that missionary on her meager saying, she bore her cross for someone else. And God used it to reach thousands in China. Yeah. Which she would never know until she got to heaven. It's victorious. I had an old lady. I had the privilege of being her pastor in Newport, and her name was Lil. Lil was not retarded, but she had some issues. But Lil knew she was saved, and Lil loved the Lord. And Lil witnessed to every person in that nursing home, and she got me in the nursing home to preach, and she loved me. And Lil, all I had to do is say, does anybody, I didn't even get finished saying, does anybody have a testimony? All I had to do is go, does anybody? And Lil said, I do, Pastor. And she'd stand up and she'd just say, I just want to thank the Lord. And she'd go on and just brag on the Lord. And whenever we did specials, she always had her hand up. She always had special songs. And what was that song that she... That is it. She sat right about where Cassie's sitting tonight. And I'm telling you, we would sing, Great is the Lord. And great, I can hear her singing that song because she was the loudest one. She was even more off key than I was. But her face shone. She got bad. She couldn't come to church anymore. And so I'd always go up and visit her a few times a week. I had David Turner at the church. So I said, David, I got this precious lady at the nursing home. She doesn't get out much. She'd love to meet another preacher. Have you pray with her? He goes, let's go. So we went over and we spent about an hour and a half with her. We read Bible, sang, talked, and everything like that. We got in the car, and David turns. David was a missionary to the prisons. David turned to me, and he said, "Preacher, when we get to the kingdom, I hope Lil lets you and I do something." She's full of God. Babe, in all the years we knew her, did you ever hear her complain? That wasn't the best nursing home in the world. I never heard her complain. That woman had the victory. She had the joy of the Lord. Had nothing to do with circumstances. You know, there's nothing glamorous about a crucifixion. I have a book at the house that goes into crucifixion and what happened. And this is, I just jotted down a few things. It said that the crucifixion was with one of the most hideous sights. Now, we've glamorized it. The movies have glamorized the crucifixion. There's nothing glamorous about it. The book said it was the most painful method of public death in the first century. It said many of the soldiers involved in crucifying often took strong drink to numb their senses while they were going through it. So what I'm saying is, if you're going to pick up your cross, it's not going to be a glamorous thing. But I never heard the Lord grumble about it. But I sure have heard a lot of saved people grumble about dumb, stupid, little stuff. Sometimes we have a strange idea about what our cross is. Oh, yeah, I got this cross. I got this woman. Oh, yeah, I got this cross. I got this man. Oh, yeah, this car I got. This is my cross. That's a strange idea you got there. Did you notice in the Bible how children flock to the Lord? Do you know what children do not flock to? A grumpy, angry, bitter person. Kids know. You set them loose, they'll let you know. God's anointed us with the oil of gladness. Listen, I have a lot more on the cross, but I think I'm going to stop here tonight. Guys, this Christian life, guys, we are getting closer to the return of the Lord. Surely you want to be found faithful. Well, if you're going to be found faithful, you've got to pick up that cross every day. And you ought to want to be spiritual. Look, every one of us, we know what it is to be carnal. I hate it when I'm carnal. I know my wife doesn't like it. I know when I had kids at the house, the kids didn't like it. So it starts every day. Pick up that cross. Follow him. I can't magnify how important it is to start your day with the Lord. I have my little spot there. I get down there. It takes me longer to get down than it used to. You know the first thing I say? Morning, Lord. You know the first thing I say to her? Morning, babe. I said, Lord, thanks for the good night's rest. I said, Lord, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I said, Lord, I thank you for another day that I can do something for you. That's how I start my day. Every day, I go through my prayer time. And I don't like to be robotic in my prayer. I wouldn't want you to be robotic and talking, hello, Pastor. How are you, Pastor? Wow. He's my Lord. He's the best friend I've ever had. Yep. Pick up that cross. Got to identify your cross.